the servant, identified as Israel, speaks for herself and describes her honored mission. Called before her birth, like Jeremiah and John the Baptist, the servant is not only to restore Israel, the servant's ultimate assignment is to bring news of God's victory to the ends of the earth. God in faithfulness has chosen Israel for this task. First reading is from Isaiah 49, beginning with the first verse. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength," he says. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who calls us, God our Father. Amen. What does it mean to be called? What does it mean to be called? Too often, this term gets exclusively attached to church leaders, pastors, deacons, missionaries, and so on, as if only these leaders have a special mission from God, with everyone else just a bystander and consumer of that message and ministry brought through these people by God. Misunderstanding is that callings are only reserved for a select few within God's kingdom with the right skills, personalities, and traits, and so on and so forth. I also think there's just a general lack of awareness when it comes to the Christian calling. Calling is what phones are for, after all. The prophet, the apostle, the baptizer are all called individuals in our text today. And perhaps that is what limits our imaginations. When it comes to those God calls in the Bible, we might think ourselves, "Surely I can't measure up to or be on the same playing field as these biblical heroes." Our sense of call, in many ways, also lacks the communal element that is present within the Bible. We see this particularly in our scripture lessons as well today. A whole nation, a church of Corinth, and the baptized are all called by God for the sake of God's work in the world. So what do we make of this call business? What does it have to do with all of us, with you and me? Our Isaiah text this morning follows the standard biblical call narrative. God calls a person. That person then objects or doubts. And finally, God then affirms their call. Now, I personally can wholeheartedly relate to this cycle. I can think back and recognize to a variety of times throughout my life, even before I had the language of call, when I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me in a certain direction. These callings came in the simple day-to-day events, as well as the major life-changing events. In addition to in our text this morning, this ambiguity, I got it, of the speaker in this Isaiah text is helpful in allowing us to expand our understanding of God's calling. Whether it be for an individual or an entire nation. So let us explore together this call cycle. First, the call happens. The poet expresses here God's beautifully intimate and unique involvement in the servant's call, which began in the mother's womb. God chose, named, equipped, and claimed the servant as God's own. God did the same for you. You're not a result of a moment of passion between your parents or just another average Joe. No, God knew you in your mother's womb. God intentionally chose, named, made, and claimed you as a beloved servant. In your baptism, these promises were made, beginning with God calling you, blessing you with God's presence of the Holy Spirit, and sending you to be the light of the world. As we heard, let your light so shine bright before others. After the call comes the objection. Now, I don't know about you, but I resonate here with a servant. How easy is it to feel ineffective and like the work that I am engaged in isn't making a difference? I've labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity, says the servant. Yes, vain, nothing, vanity. And sure, we have small victories when a hungry person is fed or when a lonely person is comforted. These are great, but we're talking about transformational work here. Remember, Isaiah is a book written for a scattered, a traumatized, and an imprisoned people. They are broken, and God desires to draw them in together as a hen protects her chicks under her wing. It's the work to which God calls all servants. And so we object and challenge God. We don't see the results we want to see, and we feel our work has been done in vain, that which we have engaged. Now, if we look closely in our text, we see that the servant is named Israel. The meaning of names are important in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, that is. While this name, Israel, was given both to a nation and to an individual, the meaning of Israel is to wrestle with God. To wrestle with God. No accident. To wrestle with God. Jacob, if you recall back in Genesis 32, wrestled with God an entire night before he was given the blessing that he himself demanded from God, from this divine being. The servant wrestles with doubt, as we do ourselves. in the work to which God calls us to. And you know what? God can handle that. And I would even argue that God welcomes it, because God knows us and God invites us into a mutual relationship which includes struggles as well as the joys. Throughout Scripture, we see this tug of war between God and God's servants. Finally, within this call cycle, and I say cycle because it doesn't just happen once. God is continually calling us throughout our lives. In this cycle, we then hear God's response. And God's response is one of affirmation and assurance. God knows how the servant struggles and speaks to the one who is deeply despised, who's rejected and enslaved. God knows our struggles, the roadblocks, the battles, all the same. And it's within these moments of solidarity and empathy that God affirms the call. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God was intimately there in your forming, and God continues to be there in your service and serving. This isn't by any means a promise that everything will be easy without and with success, that is. God's promise is much deeper than that. God promises to be a source of strength, and when our backs are up against the wall, when we feel like nothing is working as it should, God is there. The servant becomes renewed in their call by the promise that the strength of God goes with them. Brothers and sisters, you and I, along with this unidentified servant and everyone throughout time, were chosen, named, and equipped before birth. God calls each of us in our uniqueness to be a light unto the nations. We are called as individuals and as community to speak peace and justice in a hurting world. An insurmountable task that undoubtedly will have pushback and rejection along the way. God's calling comes in a wide variety of tasks, from caring for a child or parent to fulfilling your day job by putting others first, to being present with someone who is suffering. God's calling focuses outward, even if we ourselves are in the midst of hardship. God's calling is done with others and sometimes alone. God's call is certainly as unique as a person God calls. But no matter what it is, all callings from God are one in the same. They are grounded in love. The love received in the life and death of Jesus, and that love is shared then for the sake of the neighbor. We may not always recognize the significance of our callings or have even a sense of them. We may choose to wrestle with God over them. The call remains, as does God's presence. You've been anointed by God to be a light to all people. You are blessed to be a blessing. Let us, with renewed strength, respond to God's call to bring the love and light of God to those around us and to those far away. Go knowing you've been commissioned since your creation, and you don't go alone. Because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, has chosen you. Amen.